Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. True prophets of God get their message from God Himself. False prophets draw their false messages from a variety of sources. Today, how to spot those sources and determine whether what you're hearing is from God or from somewhere else. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on The Church in Babylon, Unleashing the Power of a Spirit-Filled Witness. Now, Erwin Lutzer takes us again to Jeremiah 5 and recognizing false prophets.
I wish we had time to look at this in more detail, but you know that in the New Testament, in 2 Peter as well as Jude, there's a reference there to false prophets who follow their own desires. And so they look within and they say, I want to do this, that, or the other thing. And so God comes along and becomes to them everything that they want. And as a result of that, they are led into great sin. You know, the Bible is very clear. The God says, I am that I am, the Lord says, and not who you want me to be. So that's another way in which false prophets get their particular wisdom, supposedly, made up in their own minds. There's a fourth characteristic, and that is they hide their true motives. They hide their true motives. Now, the scripture is very clear about this. In the New Testament, this is the expression that is used for false prophets. It says they are trained in greed. Trained in greed. My heart just absolutely breaks when I get to this. Because what you see false prophets do is they are making money. They encourage you to send money to them, and this money is supposed to become seed money that'll garner you a big harvest. You know, this past week, I was thinking about one false prophet who's on television regularly, who encourages people to send $1,000 to him. Now, he never tells you how he's going to use $1,000. So I saw on the internet that there was a man there who was looking at some papers to verify the fact that this man was worth about $14 million. Money that had been sent in. And if you ever see him on TV, he is powerful. He is even scriptural sometimes. And he will tell you that if you send me money, God is going to use this as a seed, and you are going to get a great harvest, and you are going to be wealthy and be able to pay your bills. Many years ago, there was a false prophet on television who told people this, and I saw it with my own eyes and heard it with my own ears. He said, if you send money to me, your mortgage will be miraculously paid. You're going to get a letter from the mortgage company saying that your house has been paid for. Can you believe that? A couple of months later, I was in the city where this false prophet lives and where his ministry is, and so I said to the pastor who picked me up from the airport whether or not he knew about this claim, and he said yes. And I said, what really happened? He said, the man received a lot of money, but no mortgage was miraculously paid. Is there anybody out there who is surprised at that? Many years ago, I attended a crusade held by a false prophet. And I'll never forget, as he was taking one offering after another, people were putting wristwatches into the offering basket. These poor people were giving everything that they had to him. He even had the nerve to say from the pulpit, we're really fleecing God's sheep today, aren't we? Can you believe that? Yet he spoke to thousands of people, many more than I'm probably speaking to today. And so there they are, the Bible says, trained in greed, manipulation, and false promises that are not based on the Word of God. Please don't be deceived by these people. Sometimes I say, and I do say it with love, that sometimes God's sheep can't tell the difference between grass and astroturf. I do need to say that. Thought I'd throw that one out for free today. No offering afterwards. though we could use one here. And I don't mind raising money for specific things, but when I do, I never promise people that if you give, somehow gifts are going to come to you and suddenly you're going to become wealthy. I love to raise money for people who can't raise money for their own, whether it's for orphanages, whether it's for the ministry of Moody Church, and our many opportunities to share the gospel. That really excites me, and it is biblical, but we never here make false promises as to how you'll be blessed as a result. You will be blessed, but not monetarily, necessarily. Well, they hide their true motives. Their real motive is wealth. And then the other motive that is so important, folks, is pride. Did you notice what the Apostle Paul says? These people, in their boast, they boast about what they are able to do. They want people to look upon them as if to say, oh, they are so holy. And as a result of that, they are so plugged into God. They have a special relationship with the Most High. And therefore, they want us to be able to almost worship them. I was reading this past week about a false prophet who makes all of these predictions. They love to be able to say, God is showing me what he's going to do in your life. I'm anointing you for special ministry. So one false prophet said to this couple, God is powerfully going to use you in South America as missionaries. A couple of months later, the wife was actually killed in a car accident. The prophecy did not come to pass. He said to somebody else, you will write a book, appealing to their pride that they'd write this book that was going to influence people. The book was never written. You will have an AIDS ministry, another false prophet told this couple. God is going to give you this great ministry. Never happened. I remember a false prophet, I saw this on television. A couple came forward and said, you know, we'd really like to have children, and we can't have children. He said, let me ask you, do you want a boy or a girl? I want a boy. Spring baby, fall baby, whatever it was. Okay, that's what you will have. You come back next year and you tell us about the birth of this child. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. Let's suppose that the couple doesn't have a child. If they have a child the next year, they'd return and this faith healer would take all the credit for it and say, hallelujah, what a miracle. But if they don't, whose fault is it? It's never his. It's your fault, because if you had had the faith, it had happened. But you see, because you don't have that faith, that's your problem. Why am I preaching this message? My heart breaks for people. I sometimes see crowds, you can see this on TV, with false prophets, and many of these people are poor. And why are they there? They're saying to themselves, if I just had enough faith, if I had the same faith as this guru and of this prophet, then I would be able to drive the same car that he drives and wear the clothes that he wears and so forth. I'd be wealthy just as he is, because he tells us that if we meet the requirements, we will be, if only I could be like him. And these dear people leave their money there, and they go home and never experience the miracle, because that's not a miracle that God ever promised. Tragic. Now, I could go on about this because I've seen this so often. Let me give you three quick conclusions here to help us to draw this together and to give us some hope. First of all, number one, remember this, false prophets are God's judgment upon a nation. False prophets are God's judgment upon a nation. What Jeremiah actually says is, God says, I'm putting a stumbling block before the people, and that stumbling block happens to be false prophets. And Paul, in effect, says the very same thing in the book of 1 Timothy. I want you to just notice what Paul has to say here. For the time is coming, he says, when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. and will turn away from listening to the truth and will wander off into myths. But as for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Notice this, people are going to wander off to find doctrine, find a preacher that affirms their own passions. So you see, what the people did in Jeremiah's day is they said, we don't like Jeremiah's message. What we're going to do is we're going to find a false prophet who tells us exactly what we want to hear. And that becomes part of their judgment. Because you see, they're not interested in the truth because the truth bothers them so deeply. And the truth means that they are sinners and they need to repent and come to God. And they say, that's not what we want to hear. And so they turn away. And they do their own thing, seeking the kind of teacher or prophet that they want. Secondly, true prophets always preach God's word. I want to read this from Jeremiah chapter 23. True prophets always preach God's word. You know what Jeremiah says in chapter 23? That the false prophets actually strengthen the hands of evildoers. That's in verse 14 and 15. Can you imagine that? They strengthen the hands of evildoers. They give people confidence to do evil and say that nothing will bother them. God will put up with it. These are very sobering messages, aren't they? This is Pastor Lutzer. You know, false prophets have their ways. And they beguile many people who support their ministries and who support them, and oftentimes a very lavish lifestyle. But think of it. This is very sobering to realize that false prophets are a judgment because there are those who don't want the truth, and so they will go to a false prophet who tells them exactly what it is that they want to hear. Because what they want to do is to find a God who has no distance between what they want to hear and what he teaches. And you can always find a false prophet who will meet those expectations. Isn't it true that we live in a day when people don't want the truth and they have those itching ears that the Apostle Paul spoke about? Well, as you know, this book of Jeremiah was birthed in Jeremiah's heart. And as I began to think about what I would speak about here at the Moody Church, it dawned on me that the kind of circumstances that Israel endured really does relate to the church today. And that's why I called this series, The Church in Babylon. And despite the difficulty of some of the passages, by difficulty I mean the judgments, there is hope, there is forgiveness, and God instructs us how to live in the midst of paganism. Thanks for joining us, and please stay tuned because in a moment you're going to be given instructions as to how these messages can be yours. I want you to have them.
Erwin Lutzer with more of Recognizing False Prophets, the third message in a series on the Church in Babylon, unleashing the power of a spirit-filled witness. Next time, why false prophets are sent as a judgment from God. The Church in Babylon is a 10-part series on CD. We'd like to send you that series as our thank you for a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.